بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي كفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء الكرام, respected brothers, friends and elders, I have recited before you two ayat, two verses from Surah Al-Nazi'at. In these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has charted out, mapped out for us, shown to us two roads and two routes, one of them leading to eternal doom and damnation in the Akhirat, and the other one leading to eternal bliss and happiness in the Akhirat. The road that leads to eternal doom and damnation, which will be in the fire of Jahannam, is obviously the road of Kufr. And the road that will lead to eternal bliss and happiness in the gardens of Jannat, that obviously is a road of Iman. So Allah Ta'ala has shown to mankind both these roads, and then He left the choice to every single human being and every single jinn, that فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ, that he who wishes to choose the road to eternal doom, eternal destruction, then he should adopt kufra. Allah save us from that. And the person who wishes to enjoy the endless bounties of the Akhirat in the beautiful gardens and rivers of Jannat, he should adopt the road of Iman, embrace Iman. Allah Ta'ala in both these verses also mentions to us the pitfalls that can lead a person to the road of kufr, and Allah gives us a prescription whereby a person can go onto the correct road, onto the correct highway that leads him to Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى, as for he who is rebellious, he rebels against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and he gives preference to the life of this world over the Akhirat, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, for him the abode will be Jahannam. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, as for he who fears standing for retribution before his Rabb in the Akhirat, the one who fears accountability, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, and he restrains his carnal self from carrying out its base desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ, for that person the abode will be Jannat. If we ponder over these two verses, we will notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all warned us about the pitfalls that lead a person towards Jahannam. An ordinary person would think that Allah Ta'ala should perhaps mention the road that leads to Jannat first, and then mention the pitfalls that take a person to Jahannam. Yet Allah Ta'ala has reversed the sequence. There is a lot of wisdom in the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why Allah Ta'ala mentioned the pitfalls that leads a person to Jahannam, there is a famous principle in our Shariat, دَفْعُ الْمَضَرَّةِ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَىٰ جَلْبِ الْمَنْفَعَةِ, that you give preponderance and preference to removing obstacles, removing harmful things from the way, and then when the road is clear, then it is plain sailing towards the road of success and the road leading to Jannat. In our worldly matters too, we see, you go to a hakim, to a doctor, depending on the type of ailment that you are suffering from. The Hakim, even the doctor, he first tries and pinpoint the cause of this ailment. That perhaps there is something wrong in your diet, something in your food intake. When he manages to pinpoint it, he will first tell you to abstain from certain harmful foods. And then he will say that the medication that I am prescribing will be of benefit to you. When we recite the Qur'an al-Kareem too, it is sunnah to first recite ta'awud and then tasmiyah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That we seek the shelter of Allah from shaitan, the rejected one. So here we are asking and pleading with Allah Ta'ala to remove the obstacles from the road. And then we invoke the blessings of Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we commence our tilawat. Then we will find more enjoyment in that tilawat. That we have sought Allah Ta'ala's shelter from the treachery and the tricks of shaitan. And then we invoke the blessings of Allah before commencing the tilawat. So this is a general norm. When you go to a nutritionist, a person needs to live a healthy lifestyle. He needs to lose a bit of weight. We find that the prescription will be given. Step number one, detoxing. To remove harmful toxins from the body. And then, whatever healthy foods are prescribed, that will be of benefit to the person. So in a similar manner, in these two verses, Allah Ta'ala first warns us about the pitfalls of the road of kufr, which is rebelling against the commands of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala gives the prime reason for which a person begins to flagrantly violate the commands of Allah and the teachings of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is وآثر الحياة الدنيا. That he gives preference to the life of this world. When a person in his self-deception begins to feel that I'm going to live forever and ever in this world, that this world is not going to come to an end, then it is obvious he will start hankering behind the material possessions of this world, and he will then become oblivious of the purpose of his creation. The result will be that you will begin to rebel against the laws and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to realize every single mu'min should be on the path of suluk, should search for that path that will direct him by means of the spiritual GPS to that highway and road of iman, and to save him from the road of kufr. In order to do this, every single one of us must be conscious and be aware of the temporary nature of the life of this world. We are not to live forever in this world. In the hadith, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a parable, a similitude of the life of this world when compared to the akhirat. He says, "Mad dunya fil akhirati illa kamathali rajulin yaj'alu isba'ahu fil yam fayandhur bima yarji." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. There is similitude and comparison of this world to the life of the year after. The life of this world is like a person that goes to the edge of the sea, and he immerses a single finger into the water of the ocean, and he looks at how much water has become attached to his finger, a mere drop in the ocean. So that is the life of this world, just a drop in the ocean compared to the everlasting life of the akhirat. The temporary nature of this world is such then no matter how long a lifespan one achieves and receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how many pleasures and bounties of this world, material assets, he manages to accumulate, but the day will come when even that lengthy lifespan will come to an end. All those material possessions have to be left behind when a person traverses that journey to the Akhirat. When the time came for the demise of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, we all know, we have heard on many occasions, the Nusus also tell us that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam engaged in the effort of inviting people towards the road of Iman for a period of 950 years. If that was an effort on deen, so if lifespan was much more than 1,000 years perhaps. In spite of that, when the time of his demise came, and Malakul Maut came to extract his roh, Malakul Maut was also curious to know something. He posed a question to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that, O Nabi of Allah, you have lived in this world for approximately 1,000 years. How did you find the life of this world? He replied that his life seems so short, like as if a person, or as if I entered a home from the front door and I'm exiting from the back door. That is the short and temporary nature of this world, that we have come yesterday and today it is time for us to go and meet our Creator. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi also gave a beautiful example of the temporary nature of this world. He says, if a person hears a bird, looks after that bird, and then he fills the space between the sky and the earth with bird seed, with grain. He allows the bird to eat other food to survive. But as far as this bird seeds are concerned, he only allows the bird and brings the bird once in every 1,000 years to peck at the bird seed. So he can well imagine how many years would go by before those bird seeds are eaten up. It will take not only centuries, but millenniums before that bird seed is extinguished and it is diminished and eaten up. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, even though it may take centuries and millenniums, but eventually those bird seeds will come to an end, but the life of the Akhirat will never come to an end. So that is the life we ought to work for, the life of the Akhirat. And to get that realization, to understand the reality of this world and the reality of the Akhirat, we need to cut ourselves, detach ourselves from the pleasures of this world, that we use the assets of this world just for the amount of time that we have to live in this world. But because for the Akhirat, there we are going to live forever and ever, so our efforts must be more focused towards accumulating for the eternal life and not for the temporary life. This reality will only come about if we go into the service of the Ahlullah. We build our connection with those pious servants of Allah who have realized the temporary nature of this world and the permanent nature of the Akhirat. By sitting in their company, we too will develop that yearning to earn for the Akhirat and to detach ourselves from the unnecessary pleasures of this world. The bounties of this world, no matter how much due to our puny comprehension, no matter how much apparent value we attach to it, in the sight of Allah, it holds no value whatsoever. Which is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها كافرا شرا شربة ماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if the life of this world, the material assets of this world, were equivalent in value in the sight of Allah to that of a wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given the kuffar even a sip of water to drink. But because the world holds no value in the sight of Allah, that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر. This world is like a prison for the believers. The believers have to live within the parameters of Sharia, but the kuffar enjoy themselves. This is like a paradise for them. They enjoy generally all the luxuries of the world, and that does not behove a mu'min. A mu'min has to save himself from that road of kufr which Allah Ta'ala has shown to us. A person with iman too should save himself from attaching value to this world, so that he can protect himself from violating the commands of Allah by giving preference to the life of this world. That mu'min also will go onto the wrong highway. He will go towards the brink of kufr. He needs to redirect himself, and he needs someone to show him direction. He needs a spiritual guide to show him that direction. That is a spiritual GPS that will show him that this is the wrong highway to take, and this is the correct road to take, the path to success, the path to Jannat. This world and its contents have no value in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why in the Quran Allah Ta'ala tells us, أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, do you show happiness and love for the life of this world? Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. That the insignificant possessions of this world compared to the eternal bounties of the hereafter are very minimal in value. In fact, they have no value at all in the sight of Allah. Allama Isma'il rahmatullah alayh was a famous linguist, an expert in the Arabic language. Whenever he needed to do research about certain words of the Quran al-Kareem, he would go deep into the mountainous areas, into the Bedouin tribes, in order to do research on those Arabic words, to learn the true meaning. Even though he was an expert himself, he knew that in the Bedouin areas, classical, eloquent Arabic is spoken. So on one occasion, he needed to determine the meanings of three words in the Quran. He was aware of the normal lexicon meaning, but he knew that there are further, deeper meanings to these words. What were the three words? One was the word mata, which we heard in this verse, that وَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. And the second word that he wanted to explore was the word raqeem. أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Do you think that the people of the cave and the people of the raqeem, do you think that there were wonders of our ayat, of our signs. Definitely there were wonders. These people slept for centuries, and Allah Ta'ala awoke them again. They slept in the cave, became known as the Ashabul Kahf, people of the cave. This is the day of Jummah. Those of us who have not recited the Surah Kahf should make a point of reciting it before the day ends, because this is one of the prescribed tilawat for the day of Jummah. So because he read in this verse the word Raqeem, he wanted to find out what is Raqeem. Some of the Mufassireen say, it is the name of the stone tablet upon which the names of the people of the cave were inscribed. Some say it is the name of the locality from where these people originated. And some say it is the name of that dog that was a companion of these people. So he wanted to do further research on this word. And also, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, that most blessed and most majestic is that being in whose control is the entire universe. That is Allah Ta'ala. So he wanted to learn more about the word Tabarak. So he went to the desert Bedouin areas. He went to an area where there were very few dwellings. And he noticed an elderly lady that had just cooked the food, the meal for the home, on an open fire outside the house, outside the dwelling. She removed the pot from the fire. It had been cooked already. To remove the pot because it was hot, she had a little rag lying there, which she took to hold the pot in order not to scald her fingers. She took the pot off the fire and then wiped her hands clean of dirt and grime. And then she threw that rag into the corner somewhere near the stove, near the fire, showing that this has no value whatsoever. A dirty little rag, which in our terms we term as a faduk, or as a dishcloth. A dirty rag. She threw that in one corner, and then she went away in the neighborhood for some work, leaving behind her little son of 4 or 5 years old. So Allama Ismail rahmatullahi stopped for a little while there, because he noticed a dog approaching. He was curious to know what the dog is going to do. The dog came and looked around. That no elderly person, the dog was unperturbed about the little child. He took that dirty little rag into his jaws, went away with it and climbed a little mountain that was close by. When it sat on the mountain, it poised itself. It sat in such a balanced posture, protruding its right and left limbs on the outside. In other words, adopting such a poise and posture that if someone were to come and grab that rag away, it was in a perfect balanced position to attack that person. And it was scouring the surrounding area to see who is coming to take this rag away from it. Allama Ismail rahmatullah observed all this. When the little boy's mother returned, the child ran up to the mother and made a statement to the mother. From that he learned the meaning of the three words that he was researching. The child said to the mother, Ya Ummi, Ja'a al-Raqeem wa akhadha al-mata' wa tabarak al-jabal. That a Raqeem came. So he realized that the Raqeem refers to a special type of dog. He observed the qualities of that dog, the physical attributes. He noticed it was a black dog, but with yellow spots on his paws and above his eyes. So he realized Raqeem, the dog with the Ashab al-Kahf, was of a similar description. So he said to the mother, this type of dog came, وَأَخَذَ الْمَتَاعِ, And he took the mata'. This is what Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. That the assets of this world are like the dirty little rag that has no value whatsoever. وَتَبَارَكَ الْجَبَلُ. And in that poised, balanced posture that the dog climbs onto the mountain, he says, I realize, when Allah Ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, Allah also in all His majesty is observing the entire creation at all times, ready to take a person, to task the person who oversteps the line of Shariat, who violates the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does this tell us? That the mata' of this dunya, the material essence of this mundane world, has no value. It is like the dirty little rag that is thrown in the corner of the kitchen, used to wipe dirt and grime in the kitchen. No further value to it. That is the life of this world. Hazrat Isa ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu was salam, on one occasion, when an incident took place, he showed to the people the reality of this world, that how deceiving this world can be. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went out on a journey. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has also made mention of this incident. A certain man requested Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to accompany him on the journey. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam agreed, okay, you can come along. They embarked on the journey and they took with them 3 rotis. Provision for the road, which we term as patkos, something to eat along the way when you get hungry. So they started the journey. After traveling for some distance, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said to the man that perhaps you are also hungry. I also feel it is the time to eat. Let us sit down in some quiet corner and we have these rotis with us. Let us sit down to eat them. So they sat down. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam passed one roti to him, this is for you. And one roti he took for himself, this is for me. And he said, the third roti, the third piece of bread, we will leave aside for a later stage in the journey. So they had the one roti each. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had some work close by. He went to attend to that work. When he returned, he looked at the dastarkhan, the third roti was missing. This person obviously had greed. He ate up that roti. When Hazrat Isa questioned him, that what happened to the third roti that you were saving for a later part of the journey? So he feigned ignorance. He said, I know nothing about it. In other words, he spoke a lie. Obviously Hazrat Isa was a Nabi of Allah. Allah would have informed him by way of wahi who the thief was. But Hazrat Isa preferred to remain quiet. They continued on their journey. Hazrat Isa knew that this was a thief by way of revelation. But he wanted him to confess and to admit and to repent. So in order to urge him to confess, when they reached a certain place, there were a few sheep there. And either he knew the person, the owner of the sheep, and he took one as a gift, or perhaps he purchased the sheep, he laid down, slaughtered the sheep, skinned it, the meat was ready to cook, and then he addressed the sheep, that Qum bi-idhnillah. That come back to life, stand up, was a command of Allah. He was a Nabi. Allah Ta'ala showed the mu'jiza, the miracle, the sheep sprang up to life again. This man also looked astonishingly. So now Isa alayhi salam asked him, they tell me who had the roti. He still feigned ignorance. I know nothing about it. So he said, let's continue on the journey. They came to a place where they had to cross a stream. There was no boat there. So the man was also perplexed, perturbed, how would we cross? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said to him, no problem. You hold on to my hand, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam took his hand and they crossed over the stream, walking on the surface of the water without a single drop getting onto their bodies or their clothing. This also was a miracle. When they reached the other bank, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said to him, Now tell me, who ate the roti? He says, still I know nothing about it. I don't know who took the roti away. They proceeded further. They reached a clearing where there was a lot of sand. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam gathered together 3 mounds of sand. He made dua to Allah. He blew on the sand. And the 3 little mounds of sand immediately transformed into solid bricks of gold. 3 bricks of gold. This person's eyes also went wide open. Gold shining from his eyes. Rand signs, dollar signs. He was astonished. Solid gold, 3 bricks. So Isa alayhi salam said to him, that listen, there are 3 bricks here. One for me, one for you, and a third one for the person who ate the roti. When he heard this, he put his hand up immediately. That I ate the roti. This was great for the world. It's like a person that goes to the casinos. People say we just go out of curiosity to see what happens there. We even play the slot machines to see how they operate. We are not going to waste money there. But wait for the moment when those lights go on those slot machines. When the coins jangle out and the sound of those coins. When he strikes the jackpot, then he's not there for fun and curiosity. Then he pockets all that money. So similarly here, the greed. When Hazrat Isa saw this, he said to the person, I wish that you do not accompany me further on the journey. I do not wish to take with me a person who is a slave of the dunya. You may remain behind. He left him and he continued Isa on his journey. Later 2 bandits happened to go past there and they were attracted by this glint in the sun. They came closer. And they saw 3 bricks made of solid gold. They were crooks, bandits. They accosted this person in order to take the bricks away from him. But he managed to convince them. They listen, we are 3. There are 3 bricks here, enough to go around. So they also agreed. They sat down for a little while. After a short while, the 2 of them, the bandits, said to him that we are hungry. Here's some money, you go to the nearby village and purchase some food for the 3 of us to eat. So he went to the nearby village, he purchased the food. On his way, his intention became corrupt. Initially he told them he will share it. He thought to himself that there is a ploy and a way to take the bricks for myself. Let me put some poison into the food and I'll bring it to them, let them eat first. When they collapse and drop dead, then 3 bricks will be solely mine. Not knowing that the other 2 are plotting against him, that when he comes, we will grab hold of him and murder him. And that's what they did when he came with the food. They caught hold of him and they slit his throat. They killed him, they murdered him. And then they sat down that now the 3 bricks belong solely to us. Let us first have this hearty meal and then we will enjoy this wealth. So when they sat down to eat the meal, obviously it was poison. It was laced with poison. And they too dropped it. So no one was there to take the bricks. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam on his return journey, when he observed this, people also had gathered around to see this incident. He said to them, this is what greed of the dunya does to people. Achieved nothing whatsoever, lost their lives for the greed of the world. On one occasion, Hazrat Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu salam was walking somewhere. He went past a group of people who seemed very, very thin and skinny. Their faces were very pale. He asked them that what caused this condition. So they said, it is the fear of Jahannam that has caused this condition, that we have no urge for any pleasures, luxuries of the world. We have left eating, drinking luxurious food. That is why we have become so skinny. Our faces are pale. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam gave them glad tidings that inshallah, those who have true fear for the fire of Jahannam, Allah will protect them from the fire of Jahannam. He carried on. He came to a second group of people. He noticed these people were also skinny. In fact, skinnier than the first group of people. Their faces also were drooped. They looked very weak. He asked them, "What caused this condition of yours?" They replied, "It is our yearning for Jannat in the Akhirat. Our love for Jannat. We are so focused towards attaining Jannat that we have detached ourselves from the pleasures of the world, and this has caused our bodies to become so skinny and so thin." He gave them glad tidings too, that any Muslim that yearns for the paradise, for the pleasures of Jannat, for the pleasures of the Akhirat, Allah will inshallah through His grace and fadl, He will grant them the luxuries of Jannat. He continued on his way. He came across a third group of people. These people, he found them completely bone and skin, much skinnier than the first two groups of people. So he asked them, "What has caused this condition of yours?" They replied that it is our muhabbat and love for our Creator. The love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we are drowning in that love. So much so, that out of yearning to gain the love and muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, we are even losing sleep. And that has caused this condition. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was the most impressed with the third group of people. And three times he said to them, "You are truly the closest servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a love that we ought to develop in our hearts. If that love of Allah can come into our hearts, it will become second nature to detach ourselves from the pleasures of this world. It will become very, very easy for us to avoid breaking the commands of Allah. We will be able to restrain our carnal selves from carrying out His base desires." So this is the effect of muhabbat of Allah, love for Allah. Concerning love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Yahya bin Mu'az, rahmatullahi alayhi, used to say, that if Allah ta'ala can bless me with the equivalent of a mustard seed of His true love, that is better for me than spending 70 years in ibadat without love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a mustard seed worth of muhabbat of Allah, that is more precious than 70 years spent in ibadat without having any love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for a mu'min, that love of Allah is of paramount importance. Hazrat Mawla Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi has written a beautiful tafsir of the Qur'an, famously known as Tafsir Uthmani. Alhamdulillah, our madrasa has translated that tafsir into English. We should get copies of this tafsir and read them, because we are not making our own interpretation. We are reading the interpretation of expert scholars of tafsir, people like Mawla Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi, Ma'arif al-Qur'an, written by Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi. So nevertheless, Hazrat Mawla Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi, while he was busy compiling the tafsir, commentary of the Qur'an, he says, "There was a thought that was bothering me." What was the thought? He says, "There's the ummati of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know that the most superior of the entire creation of Allah ta'ala is none other than our Nabi, Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the most superior of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. Yet," he says, "I was perplexed that why is it that in the Qur'an Allah ta'ala makes mention of Musa alayhi salam and his people Banu Israel time and again, over and over again. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam's story is mentioned in great detail in Surah Yusuf. But yet we do not read the biography of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran Kareem. We do not see the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in fine detail as we see the lives of some of these other Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. So he says, my nafs put a doubt in my mind that this perhaps not indicate, na'udhu billah, that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam are superior than our Nabi. That can never be. So he says, why writing the tafasir when I came across this verse of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. O Nabi, say to the people that if you profess to have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow my sunnahs, follow my way of life. Allah will have muhabbat for you and forgive your sins. Hazrat Mawlana Shabbir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah says, when I read this ayat, this summed it all up for me, that our Nabi is definitely the greatest Nabi and Rasul. Allah did not need to mention his life in fine detail. This summed it all up, that such a Nabi, that by following his lifestyle, we attain the muhabbat and the love of Allah. What more do we require? What greater Nabi can be there? That following his lifestyle develops the love and the muhabbat of Allah in our hearts. So in order to learn everything we need to learn, a person wants to learn how to repair motor cars, he becomes an apprentice of an experienced motor mechanic. He wants to learn tailoring, he goes and sits in the company of a tailor. He wants to know how to mend shoes, he'll go to a shoemaker. So similarly, if a person wants to acquire the muhabbat and the love of Allah, he has to go to those people who have already become the mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pious servants of Allah, to learn muhabbat, to learn how to detach ourselves away from the pleasure of this world, to learn how to focus towards the akhirat. We need to become an apprentice of the Ahlullah and to learn from them. Just by sitting in their company, you will inshallah realize the value of the akhirat. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, man ahabba dunyahu أضر بآخرته ومن أحب آخرته أضر بدنياه فآثروا ما يبقى على ما يفنى. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that he who has love for the akhirat, he does harm to his dunya, and the person who has love for the dunya, he does harm to the akhirat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, give preference to that life which is everlasting over that life that is soon to perish, soon to end. In other words, have love for the akhirat, then inshallah you will have the reality of the akhirat in your hearts. You will develop that urge, that yearning to toe the line of sharia and to come closer to Allah Ta'ala, thereby building within us the muhabbat and the love of Allah. Many of us may have heard of jasmine oil. It is a sweet scented oil, very fragrant, having the scent of the jasmine flower therein. But this name, jasmine oil, is a misnomer. Many people, when they read this label, they think this oil has been extracted from the jasmine flower, where that is not the case. This is actually oil extracted from sesame seeds. The process takes place like this. Before the oil is extracted from the sesame seeds, the people who manufacture the jasmine oil, they lay out on the ground a whole lot of jasmine flowers, petals of the jasmine flower. Then they cover it and smother it with sesame seeds. Over that another layer of the jasmine flower, above that another layer of the sesame seeds, and then they leave it for a duration of time, for a few weeks, so much so that those sesame seeds actually absorb the fragrance of the jasmine flower. It gets the fragrance of the jasmine flower. Now the oil is extracted from the sesame seeds, and this becomes jasmine oil. So the Maulana Halim, Maulana Abdul Halim Sahib Jaunpuri Rahmatullahi, used to give the example to indicate that similarly, if you spend some time in the company of the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connect yourself with them, then like those sesame seeds, the fragrance of the spiritual focus of the Shaykh will inshallah definitely brush off onto you as well, and you will also get that light to see that road that leads to Jannat. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq of valuing our Creator and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and valuing the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah ta'ala has designated in various corners of the world to guide us spiritually. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of taking spiritual benefit from them. We urge the people listening to attend all the programs in this Isra'i Jalsa, inshallah. It will be to our benefit. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that we go from this Isra'i Jalsa in such a way that we also have the realization and the importance of attaching, connecting ourselves to a spiritual guide, so that inshallah we can see the light to that road that will inshallah lead us to Jannat with the fadl and the grace of Allah, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.